Well, the subject of hell is not one of which we often discuss or talk about. You may have heard people say, if you've watched a particular TV show or movie, "I've been to hell and back." In other words, they've been to a very difficult place in whatever their life journey has been. And the word hell is not one that people tend to use very, I guess, at all in the language of today. But we have an opportunity this morning to look at these words of Jesus from Mark 9 and indeed consider the danger of hell. And in thinking about that, I've decided to take us on a journey of how to avoid the danger of hell. We know in our lives when we see something and that it is dangerous. Indeed, we have items every day that perhaps we use that have instructions on them or signs on them that say that wrong use of this item is dangerous. You think about spraying of weeds, and if you're using some Roundup or something else, and if you read the instructions, you know, it's a no-no to get it on your hands, or even household cleaning fluids, you know, it tells you on the outside of whatever you're using about the dangerous content of the cleaning fluid. And so we have an understanding, I guess, that there are things in life that are dangerous. We get into our cars every day, and there are things that are communicated to us to make us aware of the danger around us. One car I had used to show on the dashboard the speed limit of the area that you were driving through. And if your concentration drifted or your foot got a bit heavy and you went over the speed limit, it would start flashing at you straight away. It was most annoying. That probably tells you that on occasions that I do drive a little too quickly. But anyway, outside of our cars, there are also signs that tell us when our driving could lead us into danger. Any of you who have driven on the Southern Expressway, you will know that there's a big sign on the way into Adelaide there that talks about the 3-second rule. And if you're in the left-hand lane and if you're too close to the car in front of you, closer than 3 seconds, it tells you it's dangerous. So we get the idea in how we live every day that there are things that are dangerous for our well-being. And so today, as we come to this scripture passage, we consider the danger that hell brings to our life and indeed what we might do to avoid the danger of hell. But what about this word hell that appears in the scripture that we heard brought to us today? Now, I'm not going to talk for 10 minutes about the word hell in the New Testament, but it would be good for us to understand in a very brief sense that the word hell, as it appears in the New Testament scriptures, comes from the Greek word Gehenna, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. And in general, when it's used in the New Testament, it always means a place of eternal damnation, a place where we're given word pictures of eternal fire, a place of punishment and destruction. And indeed, as I've been preparing for today, this word Gehenna is a form of the word Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M. And if you were to look into the Old Testament, you would see that there was a place called the Valley of Hinnom, where indeed that some of the kings who didn't follow through on following correct worship of God and indeed instituted some pagan practices from those outside of the way that God wanted them to worship, not in the way that Yahweh would want them to go, found themselves in this valley of Hinnom. I think that Manasseh would have been one of those kings. And Josiah, who was a good king of Judah, actually, if you like, cleaned it up and said that we're not going there anymore. That's a place of where heathen things are taking place. And from that point, and in history I'm not entirely sure where, that the Valley of Hinnom outside of Jerusalem became a place of where they would burn the rubbish, and the fire there would not go out. And so all of this builds a picture for us about this word hell that appears in the New Testament. So we can see in the scriptures that hell is a place that you do not want to go. Jesus, in his teaching about the righteous and the unrighteous people, the sheep and the goats, describes what sort of place hell is, where the unrighteous people would go. And I think Matthew, I've gone too far there, whoops. Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell is a place of where evil is, a place where the devil and his angels are, the opponents of God, and a place of where this idea of the eternal fire burns. But if we pause for a moment before we come to our passage today, and if we looked at the couple of preceding passages in Scripture, we would see that the disciples are having a bit of an argument about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus, sensing the danger here, says to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be very last and the servant of all. Jesus can see that there's a problem coming with the disciples here, that they're thinking about pride, they're thinking about their own importance is taking them away from the pathway that Jesus wants to have them go down. And then we come to this reference in the same few verses just underneath that, is that Jesus takes a little child, and I think we have the scripture there, that tells us what he did next, and basically saying to his disciples, don't get ahead of yourselves, don't think that you are so important. And the scripture tells us, he took a little child whom he placed among them, taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. And if we were to journey on very briefly into the next few verses, Jesus, to paraphrase, talks about that anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And so I think he's trying to focus the disciples in a very general way to not get ahead of themselves. Don't think that you're too important, that the simple actions, don't worry about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And then if he hasn't woken them up enough, he then comes along with our passage today, which focuses in on the danger of hell. Well, a couple of things for us to think about today about how to avoid the dangers of hell. First of all, we avoid the danger of hell by recognising when sin comes knocking at our door. We avoid the danger of hell by recognising when sin comes knocking at our door. Jesus has made it clear when he speaks about little children that everybody is important to God. And in our passage today, we heard that causing little ones to sin will have grave consequences, and this is illustrated with the thought that those who cause others to sin will come under serious judgment. Better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone, which was a large flat stone, a stone used to make flour from grain, rather than to face serious judgment. So it's really quite a stark message, isn't it? Better to die, to be thrown into the sea with this millstone around you, rather than to face serious judgment, rather than to go to hell. And then we come to what is called the hyperbole, the exaggerated example, and these three contrasts that we heard in our scripture today. That it's better to lose a hand if it causes you to sin, a foot if it causes you to sin, or an eye if it causes you to sin, rather than to go into hell with two hands, two feet and two eyes. This is Jesus communicating to his disciples that any sacrifice is worth taking to be in the right relationship with God, and not to go down that pathway that leads you to hell, the eternal separation with God. I understand that the rabbis in the days of Jesus had little sayings about the body parts that could lead people into sin. One was, for example, the eye and the heart are two brokers of sin. The eye and the heart are two brokers of sin. So the communication from Jesus to his disciples and for us today is, do all you can to avoid sin. Whatever it takes, avoid sin. When sin comes knocking at your door, avoid it. Stay out of hell. I can remember years ago hearing a message on the avoidance of sin, and this was many years ago before the whole social media and internet thing has hit the world that we live in. And on this occasion, the preacher was talking about media. And of course, 30 or so years ago, media was television, newspaper, and radio. As I said, it was before the days of the internet and social media. And he gave a very simple statement that night, and I remember quite well, that if you're watching television, for example, and some bad thoughts are being stirred up, if some sinful thoughts are being stirred up, he simply said, turn it off. Turn the television set off. One of the lines in the Lord's Prayer says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, when sin is on the horizon, our prayer should be, deliver us, Lord. Please take it away from me, Lord. We know, as I said before, what it is to move away from danger in our living. Elan and I went to Kakadu in the Northern Territory earlier this year. And we went on this tour that took us out of Darwin for a day. And we looked at some Aboriginal rock art, and our tour guide then paused and told us that there was a snake just off the pathway. And I can't remember the name of the snake, but he said that it was one of the most poisonous snakes in the Northern Territory. And indeed, the park rangers had placed this orange barrier in front of this snake just to make sure that people would not go over there. So the tour guide said, do not go over there and look at this snake. Well, you know what the people did, don't you? They all got their mobile phones out, they got their cameras out. Don't worry about the Aboriginal rock art that he was talking to us about. They walked 10 metres down and they were all standing at the orange barrier taking picture of the snake that was curled up, minding its own business. Friends, when sin comes knocking, don't go and have a look. Stay away from the danger. Avoid going to hell by any means. By any means, that's what Jesus is saying. Get as far away from sin as possible. We come to verse 48 of the passage, which is an Old Testament reference from Isaiah 66:24. And we have a description of the place that people go to who have rebelled against God. And God is saying of the faithful people this, and they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. The worms that eat them will not die, the fire that burns them will not be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind. We're getting the picture again. It's a consistent picture. The description of hell should ring alarm bells for us. We avoid the dangers of hell when we do not rebel against God, when we recognise when sin comes knocking at our door. In our human relationships, we do the best to please the ones we love. And we understand what that looks like. In the relationship we have with God, we should want to please God out of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And what he has done for us in Jesus Christ is that he has shown us love. He has shown us love because Jesus went to the cross to die for each one of us. And we please God by avoiding sin in our living. This means recognising when sin comes knocking on our door, when it comes on the horizon of our vision, for sin takes us away from the will of God. So that's the first reflection this morning. We avoid the danger of hell by recognising when sin comes knocking at our door. The second reflection for us today, if you like, we avoid the danger of hell by having genuine discipleship. By having genuine discipleship. That means that we seek to live our life in a way that honours God. Now, verses 49 and 50 of our passage today actually speak to us about that. Just let me read them through to us again this morning. Everyone will be sorted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt amongst yourself and be at peace with each other. In the Old Testament, adding salt to the sacrifice would make the sacrifice acceptable to God. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. We don't often read the book of just Leviticus, I suspect, but there's some good stuff in there that can help us in our journey of faith. And so it says this in Leviticus 2:13, and I think that I lost that. That is not the correct reading. My apology for that. It says this: season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Friends, living the Christian life will mean that, as what the reference was before, that we will be, if you like, salted with fire. That will test our genuine discipleship. Just as fire brings purification to the best metal, our discipleship comes under testing to see if it is genuine, if our living is truly sacrificial. In the world that we live in, when we purchase something, we find out whether what we have purchased is genuine and can do the job. We don't often go out and deliberately buy something that is not genuine, something that is fake. They say that confession is good for the soul, so I'll confess. I should have known better a few years ago when I bought a replica watch, a replica Patek Philippe watch, from a shop in Kusadasi in Turkey that its business name was Fake Watches. His business name was Fake Watches. And so we were on a little tour that there in Turkey. We'd been to the sites of the churches of the Book of Revelation, with the letters to the churches, and we found ourselves in the lovely port city of Kusadasi, and there was a shop there that said Fake Watches. So I thought, oh, I'll go in and have a look. Seemed to be a few people in there. Well, they had all sorts of fake watches, Patek Philippe's, Rolex, you name them, and they had them there. And so I went inside and I parted with €100. And after 3 years of walking around with my fake Patek Philippe, you know what happened, don't you? It stopped, never to start again. It did not pass the test. It was not genuine. Patek Philippe watches are from Switzerland. They sell for thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. So you can get the understand of that it wasn't genuine. Friends, in our Christian walk, I think let us not be fake. Let us have genuine discipleship that will pass the tests. When, as it says there, we are salted with fire. When our discipleship is tested. Jesus use the illustration of salt again in Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We know salt had a couple of characteristics. One is to add flavour, the other is to preserve. Genuine discipleship that keeps us from hell is seen in the flavour of our living. It's seen in the flavour of our living, in the community that we find ourselves in. In our living is the fruit of the Spirit seen, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, long-suffering in some translations, kindness, goodness and faithfulness. Is that seen in our living? Is that the identifying marks in how we live of genuine discipleship? We also see the genuineness of our discipleship in the role that we play in the preservation of the society that we live in, so that we can bring the values of God to the community that we live in. The avoidance of the danger of hell has us firmly living with the values of God in our life, despite what is going on around us. As I was preparing for today, I read that in the ancient world at the time of Jesus, that the thought was that the world was in a state of moral decay. Well, we could say, I think, that the world started its moral decay from the Garden of Eden, and that we're still in that state of moral decay in the world that we live in today. Genuine discipleship seeks to preserve the good around us, the values of God. And when we look to preserve the values of God in the society around us, we keep our eyes on God, which protects us from the danger of hell. We avoid the danger of hell by having genuine discipleship. What sort of flavour do we add to the community that we're in? Are we preserving in the community that we're in the values of God? And then it's interesting in the scripture passage, because then Jesus sort of adds on a little tag on the end of this word that he has there, and it says, be at peace with each other. It sort of comes on the end of it there. But that's about genuine discipleship as well. That's about the relationships that we have with each other. Be at peace with each other. Looking to be at peace with people means that we see the best in them, just as God sees the best in them. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wanting to have good relationships with people is a sign of genuine discipleship. So we avoid the danger of hell by having genuine discipleship. So Jesus, trying to wake us up, trying to wake the disciples up in his teaching from the passage today, is saying, stay away from sin. When sin comes knocking at your door, do whatever you can to stay away from sin. And it's a message he wanted his disciples to hear, that they weren't going to get ahead of themselves, think that they were too important in their living. Get rid of the things in your life that will lead you away from the kingdom of God. We avoid the danger of hell also by making sure that our lives are in tune with what God desires. If our lives are in tune with what God desires, then we have genuine discipleship. Genuine discipleship. We're honouring God in our living. Genuine discipleship seen in our relationship with God, which then plays out in our relationships with each other. So we've spoken about how to avoid the dangers of hell this morning with those couple of points. But I want to finish up with some words of affirmation, because we can think on this about our hell, and we can think about the picture of hell, the eternal fire, the eternal separation from God, the place where the devil and his angels are. But I just want to finish up this morning with what happens by staying faithful. What happens by staying faithful? And I want to encourage you in conclusion this morning with some words from the book of Revelation. With a positive affirmation of what staying true to God means for us each. When we avoid the danger of hell. And some words that come to us from Revelation 21:3-4, after Jesus has come again, and we read this. John says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Let me encourage you this morning. Avoid the dangers of hell. But also to think about this glorious promise that we are given here, of what the other side of the equation means, if you like. Hell over here, relationship with God over here. Heaven, relationship with God over here. Let me encourage you to do all that you can to avoid the danger of hell, but also to contemplate, to think, to take some moments in your life from time to time to think about what God is offering us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for your word, and we thank you for the challenge that it brings to us today, that in our living that we would honour you, and that we would seek after the path that you would have us live our lives every day. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from those things that come on our horizon, that seek to destroy us, that seek to distract us, that seek to take us away from your glorious promise that you bring to each and every one of us. And so as we live every day, may people see how we live, that your love is seen in who we are as your people, as we relate with each other, as we relate with the people who come across our pathway in the community, and that we reflect the joy that comes from knowing the promise, the eternal promise that you bring to us by being faithful, by being the people that you want us to be. So just help us with this, Lord, by your Holy Spirit's power. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.